Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, check this out. On this episode, what we're going to talk about is the soundtrack to the movie Above the Rim. This soundtrack was released along with the movie 30 years ago. I know. It's crazy, right? Yes, the soundtrack was released March 22nd, 1994. And on this episode, what we're going to talk about is obviously the tracks, the producing, who did the producing, feature the artist, and as well as just my thoughts on this album. Listen, 1994 was a great year for music, hip hop in particular. But one of the things that was very key at this particular time in history, as far as music was concerned, was that when, particularly with black movies, when a movie got released, as fans, we were always checking for the soundtrack. Now, the soundtrack wasn't anything new. I mean, black movies all the way going back to the 60s and 70s had soundtracks. But there was a run, and I'm going to cover it this year and in the subsequent years. There was a run of some really, really good black movies. And these black movies in the 90s had some really, really dope soundtracks. And this movie produced a very, very dope soundtrack. Again, the movie is called Above the Rim. I'm not going to get into the movie. Hopefully you've seen and heard of the movie. If you haven't, check it out. It's a really good movie. I like it. I like watching it. It's and it's one of those movies that when it comes on, like, I always sit and watch it as if I'd never seen it before. But obviously it stars one of the artists who appear on the soundtrack, Tupac Shakur, the late great Tupac Shakur, rest in peace. So let me, before I get into the episode, let me just tell you a little bit about 1994. Again, it was a great year in hip hop, but at this particular time, the quote unquote East Coast, West Coast beef was starting to brew a little bit and things were getting a little shaky. There was a major rap label in the West Coast, LA in particular, called Death Row. And Death Row was run by none other than Marion Suge Knight. And he was guided by his in-house producer, the legendary Andre Young, a.k.a. Dr. Dre. Now, for the Above the Rim soundtrack, Suge Knight and Death Row Records, Suge Knight specifically was the executive producer for this particular soundtrack. So a lot of artists that appear on this album, on this particular soundtrack, were Death Row artists. But it was a really, really dope album. And one of the things I remember was just playing it over and over. This soundtrack got a lot of run in my Nissan Sentra, no lie. it was a great album. And again, when I think about this soundtrack in particular, even before I get into the songs, it's still kind of mind boggling to think that it's been 30 years. Because for me, I don't know about you, but for me in 1994, I was in college. I was at South Carolina State University. And this soundtrack comes out and it blew up. I mean, it literally blew up. And you know, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed playing it. It won a lot of awards. It was a soundtrack that was heavily, well, I can't even really say it's West Coast, because this soundtrack just flows. It's a vibe. It's a bop, as the kids say. But it was something that I really enjoyed listening to. And even as I went back in preparing for this particular episode, listening to it, man, was really a trip down memory lane. A lot of nostalgia, a lot of good vibes, a lot of great memories. This joint really brings back a lot of great memories for me. And again, it was a great time in my life because I was in college at the time. So, but yeah, the album, the Above the Rim soundtrack, released again March 22nd, 1994. The runtime on the CD was 77 minutes. Also, there was a cassette tape. It came out on cassette, and there were some bonus songs on the cassette. Now, here's the interesting thing. When I purchased this, I purchased the cassette first, and then later I got the CD. Maybe about a month and a half later. But there was a difference between some of the songs that were on the CD and the songs on the tape, and I'll get to that a little later. But yeah, this thing, it when it hit the streets, it blew. Everybody that I know on campus had it, and everybody was playing it. And again, it was really just something that we gravitated towards because the music was really, really dope. And we were young and we were impressionable and we hung on to every word of every song. So it was, to say that it was a soundtrack specifically to a particular time in our lives, I think that's an understatement. I mentioned the producers. This album had some heavy hitters when it came to producers. Again, Suge Knight was the executive producer, but Dr. Dre oversaw the project. We had producers like the legend, DJ Quick, Daz from the Dog Pound. Who else? Devontae Swing. His brother Dalvin produced. Warren G. Johnny Tate. OFTB, Al B. Shore, Chris Puran, just to name a few, Second to None. I mean, like, I could go on and on because it was a compilation. The great Warren G. Because it was a compilation, some of the producers were a little bit of everything from everybody. So it was really, really dope. And one of the things that I really enjoy about this album is how it's actually sequenced and, you know, just the overall theme and vibe of the album. And I'll talk about my feelings on the album in a little bit. So let's get into the tracks. The album starts off. Track one, Anything, All-Star Remix, SWV. Listen, you can't go wrong with SWV, but this was the lead single, if I'm not mistaken, for the album. No, I'm sorry, it was not the lead single. The lead single was Regulate. That was released April 23rd, 1994. Then track two, then another track that was the second single, excuse me, that was released was Afro Puffs. And the third single that was released was I'm Still in Love with You, Part-Time Lover. I don't know when the track one, Anything, was released, but, and it may not have been released as a single, but it's the song, it's one of the songs on this album that everybody knows. This song gets major airplay. Again, SWV, All-Star Remix. Now, this, the All-Star Remix is not the remix with Method Man. That was another mix of, it was like a mix of a remix. But, dope song. SWV was smoking at the time, so it was dope to have them on this particular album at this, in this leadoff spot, if you will. Then we get to track two, Old Time's Sake, Sweet by Sweet Sable. Man, listen, this is my joint right here. I know you remember when we used to chill back when, smoking a blunt and sipping on a Heineken. Come on, man. It was like the hood love song, man. This joint right here, just the vibe, it brings back a lot of memories. Like, this was one of the ones that I definitely bumped into Sentra, and it got a lot of play in my car. That's all I can say. It got a lot of play in my car. Then we get to track three, Part-Time Lover by H-Town, produced by Devontae Swing of Jodeci. You know what's interesting? as I mentioned, like I go back and I listen to some, particularly when I'm going to do an album review, I always make sure that I go back and listen to the album again, you know, quite a few times as it leads up to the review. So I'm, you know, really kind of familiarizing myself all over again with the albums, because some of these albums, you know, you, there's a period of time in which you go where you don't actually hear the songs or the albums, or maybe you just hear songs, but you don't hear the album in its entirety, right? And so I had not heard Part Time Love in a while. And at the beginning of the song, the lead singer from H-Town, who's the group who sings this song, he says, "Break it down, Devontae." And then I realized that Devontae Swing from Jodeci again produced this particular song, right? And as I'm listening to the song, I'm like, yo, this song sounds familiar. But I'm not really, I can't put really two and two together. I can't figure out what is familiar about this sound. And then all of a sudden, I kind of block out the lyrics and I hear the bass line and I hear what they're saying. And I'm like, yo, this is almost the exact same song as Fiendin' by Jodeci, which was also produced by Devontae Swing. And I was like, wait a minute, Part-Time Lover and Fiendin', it's like the same song. Like, and it never, yeah, I was, I, my head exploded. Listen to it. But it's a great, it's a really good song. Really good song, Part-Time Lover by H-Town. Then we get to track four. Man, whew, this is a banger. Big Pimpin' by the Dog Pound featuring Nate Dogg, Snoop Dogg, Snoop Doggy Dogg at the time, excuse me. Produced by Daz from the Dog Pound. Man, this right here, this is, we talk about like music that you ride to. Listen, that there was some songs, and I know this song didn't make my ride to list, but my cruising list, but this joint right here, man, we always, like me and my boys that I went to school with and people that I was around, you know, there was a really, really dope affinity for, you know, West Coast artists. And the Dog Pound, like those, they made music that we just jammed to. I mean, for me, all the time. That Dog Pound CD got a lot of play in my room and in my ride, and I still bump it to this day. But this joint right here, Big Pimpin', man, that's one of my favorite Dog Pound joints. And you know, it's still, the music still resonates with me to this day. I mean, like, as soon as it comes on, all you see is my head just bopping like this. And it's a good feeling. Then we get to track five, Didn't Mean to Turn You On by Second to None and DJ Quick, produced by DJ Quick and Second to None. This one was a really good song. This one took a minute to grow on me. I'm not going to lie, because I've always liked DJ Quick, and I wasn't sure about Second to None, and I always liked Quick's verse, but over a period of time, it grew on me, and it's a really good song. And so far, this album, five songs in, is smoking. Like, it's like on fish grease levels. It's on fire. And then we get to track six, Doggy Style by DJ Rogers. Okay. This is where the album takes a turn for me. I don't think this song is as good. It was good back then. Listening to it now, I mean, like, okay, here's the elephant in the room. In the 90s, a lot of stuff revolved around sex. And so, like, some of the songs that were made, some of the interludes, shout out to Dre and Biggie, who, you know, had sex going on in the interludes. It just wasn't like, it didn't age well. I guess that's the best way I can say it. It did not age well. So Doggy Style, it's okay. It was a song that I think I listened to back then. Now, skip. I mean, I listened to it, you know, leading up to this episode, but skip. Then we get to track seven. Track seven, Regulate. Nate Dogg and Warren G, produced by Warren G. I think it goes without saying that Regulate is probably the most popular song on this album. Of course, I used the I Keep Forgetting sample by Michael McDonald. And this song skyrocketed on the charts. It put, you know, it propelled this album and its album sales. And the storytelling, of course. And then, of course, it goes without saying, but the legendary singing of Mr. Nate Dogg, rest in peace, was incredible. You've never heard anybody sing about murdering somebody, and it sounds so beautiful. He told you he pulled his gat out and let all them busters down. He let his gat explode. That's what he said. Incredible. And it's still kind of funny. I always chuckle when I hear that line. I laid all them busters down. I let my gat explode. It just sounds funny to me. Like, he's literally singing about murdering people in a drive-by. And he made it sound so cool and so fresh. Not that it would make you or inspire you to go do a drive-by, but Nate Dogg just had a way, man. That brother, listen, there are a lot of people that have come and gone in hip-hop. And there's some that have left their mark. Very few can say that they did what Nate Dogg did in a short time that he was here. Man, that brother was dope. Really, really dope. Again, rest in peace to the legendary Nate Dogg. Then we get to track 8. Tupac and Thug Life, Pour Out a Little Liquor. I'll be honest. And I bought the Thug Life CD. I bought it because I'm a fan of Tupac. I love Pac, man. Rest in peace. The Thug Life dudes, his partners, they were okay. I wasn't really like a big fan of them, but you know, Pac did his thing and he helped carry the song. And you know, Pour Out a Little Liquor, that was like the thing. So, like, I ran with a in college, I ran with a bunch of my teammates, and I didn't drink in college, right? And so damn near all of my teammates drank. A few smoked. And so what was interesting was, like, they always had to pour out some liquor, you know, because of that was the thing to do. Like, you poured out some liquor for the dead homies. But in reality, we didn't have any dead homies. We were in college. Nobody had no dead homies back then. But it was always funny to me. So, you know, guys get the 40s before they turn it up. They pour out a little liquor for the homies who ain't here. But that song inspired that. And that was, I'm assuming that was a thing that was really, really big on the West Coast, gang culture. And it's something that, you know, infiltrated into the music, which we accepted. And it was really dope. But I used to always laugh at my teammates pouring out liquor for the dead homies. I'm like, y'all don't have, you barely even got homies. What are you pouring out liquor for? But still funny nonetheless. But a great song. Love that song. Like I said, not really a fan of Thug Life, but I thought they held their own in this song. Then we get to track 9, Gonna Give It to You, by Juel and Aaron Hall. Man, whew. This is a ballad, you know, Aaron Hall of Guy and Juel. Now, Juel, if you're a fan of Death Row Records, you know who Juel is. I mean, she sang on just about all of the tracks on, like, Still Dre Day, Let Me Ride. I mean, she has so many songs on most of the Death Row projects. And she unfortunately passed away in 2022, I think. Rest in peace to Juelz. But I love her voice. I may have to Google a picture because I don't know what she looks like because we didn't have the internet back then. But her voice is melodic. I mean, like, she has that strong sing from your diaphragm in church yelling type voice. I love her voice. But anyway, this is a good song between her and Aaron Hall. She definitely held her own against Aaron Hall. And that was a joint that still got played in the car. Then we get to track 10. Afro Puffs, The Lady of Rage. Whew. Again, second single. It might be the second popular, you know, as far as the masses are concerned. Great song by The Lady of Rage. That joint still bangs. And I mean, like, girls, this was like where we were. This was like the girls' anthem. This was the girls' anthem back then. I mean, Afro Puffs was the joint. And even now, if you go to any type of party and the DJ puts this on, your 40 and up club, they jamming to this, especially the ladies. And they're going, you won't find many ladies right now, 40 and older, that don't know the words to Afro Puffs. I promise you. And if you come across somebody who's 40 years old and they don't know the word, a lady that doesn't know the words to Afro Puffs, she probably wasn't outside. Probably. Because there's no way, everybody who was outside loves this song. Still bangs to this day, produced by Dre and Daz. Then we get to track 11, Just So You Know, by CPO Boss Hogg. This one, it took a while. I think his voice kind of threw me off. But CPO Boss Hogg was pretty good on this track. This was one that I think probably early on I skipped. And then one day I let it play and I was like, okay, this ain't bad. This ain't bad. But yeah, rest in peace, CPO Boss Hogg. Yeah, this joint is, it fits. It fits. West Coast artist. He had a very distinctive voice. And, but I think the placement of this song and what he's talking about, it fits where it is on this album. Then we get to track 12 from Paradise, Hoochies Need Love Too. Now, hey, man, in 1994, who didn't need a good hoochie? And if you had a hoochie, you know your hoochie needed love too. This one was funny. And, you know, that's the funny thing about really about where music was really as far as hip hop was concerned. When you tried to mix in some of that hip hop and R&B, you got these kind of thugged out songs that really didn't talk about love. It was just talking about sex. So this one was the hook was singing, but it was Paradise actually rapping. This was cool. It was a cute, funny song. I enjoyed it. A lot of people didn't like it, but I enjoyed it. Then we get to track 13, I'm Still in Love with You by Al B. Sure. This is a remake of the Reverend Al Green song, I'm Still in Love with You. Al did his thing. I think Al B. Sure did his thing, and I don't think Al Green would have been disappointed or is disappointed in this effort. Really, really dope song. Now, here's where I think the album starts to tail off a little bit, and I really think they probably could have ended it after track 14, but they, you know, kind of kept going. Because I think that's one of my knocks on this album is that it's way too long. If they had cut it, you know, maybe about three or four songs out, I think you got a legit 13, 14 song album, and it's a smoker. But Crack 'Em, produced by DJ Quick. The group is called OFTB. The first time I heard this, first couple of times I heard this song, I ain't like it. I didn't like it at all. But man, after a while, I let it play and it was like, Crack 'Em, Let Me At 'Em, Let Me. I was like, okay. And then I listened to it and I was like, okay. And I mean, at the time, I didn't know, because I didn't know who OFTB was. But OFTB, three brothers from Watts, according to the wiki, the three founding members were from the Nickerson Garden Projects. Shout out to Nickerson Gardens. So yeah, to come from that area and be able to rap and be dope. Yeah, I like the song. And I think it, I probably would have ended it here, because I think the next couple of songs are just okay. And they just, it felt to me like they just added them on. Track 15, You Bring the Dog Out, singing or performed by Rhythm and Knowledge, produced by Sean Barney Thomas. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, like, the next track, Blow It Away by B. Rizzle, not that good. That was produced by Devontae Swing. Track 17, I like. I probably would have moved it up in the album, maybe midway in the album. It's another joint by Jewel. It's called It's Not Deep Enough. And this is just her singing. This is produced by Mr. Dalvin from Jodeci. And then track 18, the final track, Dog Pound for Life, produced by Daz, and this is performed by the Dog Pound. Now, this song needs to be on the front part of the album. You really could have made, I would have put this at like, I don't know, track 2 or 3. Again, I'm a Dog Pound fan, so this song makes the album. But I think they probably could have cut out 3 or 4 songs on this album, and it would have been perfect. Well, not a perfect album, but I mean, like, it would have been more fluid. Again, I think when you're talking about, you know, Suge and what Death Row was doing at the time, I can understand how and why they had so many out. Because again, this is a compilation, so I can understand why you had so many people on this particular album. If it were being produced by 12 Kyle, you don't have as many people on this album. But this is a really, really dope album. Remember earlier I told you that there's a difference between what was on the cassette tape and what was on the CD. The cassette tape had a bonus track, and that bonus track happened to be my personal favorite Tupac song. The song is called Pain, and the song is featured throughout the movie Above the Rim. I think that is Tupac's best song, or at least one of his best songs. This is my favorite song from Tupac, and when you hear it, you feel it. I mean, like, people can say what they want about Tupac. You felt Tupac. Like, if you listened to Tupac, you felt him. That's why his loss was so important to not just his fans, but just to the culture and rap altogether. Because you felt to it. It ain't, particularly in 1994, we listened to music, but it wasn't really a lot of people that you just felt in your heart and your soul. You felt Tupac. The song is called Pain. If you have not heard it, listen to it. You feel Tupac in this song. So when he talks about his pain, you feel him. And you don't have to have known Tupac to understand the song and to love what he's talking about, because it's vintage Tupac. And I don't think it should have been just on the cassette. But interestingly enough, I bought the cassette, so I had it. My first purchase of this album was the cassette, so I had this song. But subsequently, when I bought the CD, it wasn't on there. So I had to burn the CD and then, you know, add that song on there. And I can't remember how I did it. I think I did it later. I definitely didn't do it in 94 because there was no way for me to burn CDs. But I love that joint. But yeah, that's the... And then it had... There was 2 other songs... My Money Right by Lord G and Loyal to the Game by Tupac, Tretch, and Riddler. Again, solid songs, but at this point, the cassette running time is 90 minutes. That's 1 hour and 30 minutes. That's way too long. Way too long for a cassette. I mean, because, you know, a cassette, you're not hitting fast forward through the song. You're just sitting there listening to it all the way through. Now, again, this is a dope album. I always talk about the mics that you get in the Source. If I had to give this album a mic, it'd be 4 mics. It's not a 5 mic album. It's not a 3. If you said 3.5, I'd be cool with that too as well. But the highs on this album are through the roof. From Anything, Old Time's Sake, Part-Time Lover, Big Pimpin', Regulate, Pour Out a Little Liquor, Afro Puffs, Dog Pound for Life. I mean, those are all banger. Pain, those are all bangers. Those are all smoke. Really, I just named about 7 or 8 singles. Those are all singles that could have been released from this album. Seriously, it is that good of a compilation album. And again, the other songs aren't bad. They're not bad at all. But yeah, this CD is cold. It's cold. One of the reasons why I really like this album is because I think it flowed. It showed, you know, the versatility of Dr. Dre. It showed the versatility of Suge Knight. Showed the versatility of Death Row, to be honest. They did a good job as far as I was concerned, you know, giving us some new acts or acts that we had not heard. I never heard of OFTB. I mean, I'm sure that they had been around, but I'd never heard of them before. Never heard of CPO Boss Hogg. And then you blend it in, you know, guys like Al B. Sure and then the lovely Jewel. You know, I think it was a good mesh. I think they did a really good job of putting this whole thing together. And the music is featured throughout the movie. So if you're familiar with the soundtrack, when you watch the movie, you're going to hear these songs. Like I said, Pain is probably the song that you hear the most, you know, throughout the movie. But I love it, man. And again, I love listening to the CD. It brings back a lot of memories. It's something that I think everybody can get something from. Again, when you take a song like Regulate, I mean, you can make a case that Regulate is one of the most popular hip hop songs, period. I would venture to say it is probably in the top 30. And that's saying a lot when you consider all the hip hop songs that have been created and produced. But yeah, if you haven't done so, definitely take a listen to this album. For me, again, it's a great trip down memory lane, but it's also like a reminder that time flies. And I'm like, yo, it's 30 years. There's no way it could have been 30 years. But, and it, you know, even in listening to it, and even in this discussion, I realized that I probably said rest in peace way too many times. We've lost quite a few people from this album. And from Nate Dogg to Tupac to Jewel, on down the line. And it just goes to show you that, you know, life is precious. But some of these artists left some great music, and we should all be thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. This is your boy 12 Kyle, and thank you for checking out another edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. You can find this podcast wherever you find podcasts. The podcast is also on YouTube as well. Go to youtube.com, search 12 Kyle podcast. You can rate, review, leave a comment on podcast. If you're on Spotify, you can leave a comment there. You can leave a comment on YouTube as well. Yeah, but make sure you subscribe and you tell a friend to tell a friend. If you're on social media, follow us on social media. Twitter X, Instagram, Facebook. The podcast has its own TikTok page. Follow on there as well. We put up videos as well. And like I said, on YouTube, there's audio and video of every episode. And of course, you can follow me, 12 Kyle, across the board on social media as well. If you feel so inclined, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Go to our link tree. There is now 12 Kyle podcast merch. So if you'd like to throw us a couple of dollars, you'd like to get yourself a nice shirt or a coffee mug, 12 Kyle podcast, or a hoodie, do that. The link is on the link tree as well. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000.